Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, Deanne? Permission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, dirty, dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
Man, that's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We appreciate you being with us at a fine Friday. It's a Target Demo Friday, so please let us know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, and how you're listening. And I'll read through those coming up in about 40 minutes from now. It should be noted that today's Target Demo Friday thread comes with a very special surprise. Scientists.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
No, not the scientist. It's Mraz. It's Mraz shirtless, poolside, in Hawaii, doing a duck face. I don't know why Mraz decided to send this to me, Bogish, Bilotti, and Kaplan last week, but when he was in Hawaii, decided to simply send us a picture of him on the beach, shirtless, glistening like a coconut in the sun, and doing a kissy face.
Yeah, that was my hi, haters.
Hi. Hi.
Like one of those.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hey. You want to throw a party without me? Look what I'm doing. Oh, hey.
So now you're in claws. So that picture is tagged along with our Target Demo Friday memes. Check that out on both Twitter, DA on CBS, and on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDA Show. Today's show has been hijacked with the Warriors conversation because I had Jared Greenberg join us in hour number one, and I had heard him on Bill Reiter's show earlier in the week, and he and Bill Reiter have kind of a love fest with one another, and that's great. They're both really good NBA minds, but I was disappointed Bill Reiter didn't challenge him more when Greenberg, who's also a friend of our show, went in this little diatribe, this little sonnet about how finally Steph Curry is getting recognized. And I said, wait a second, I had to pull over. Getting recognized as a two-time MVP, three-time champion, and five straight NBA finals. He's one of the highest-selling jerseys in the world for the NBA, one of the most recognizable athletes in the world. Mark Jackson claims that Steph Curry altered youth basketball globally. And we're acting like he doesn't get noticed? We are admitting that Steph Curry changed the universe, right? By him making the three-point shot effortless and such a weapon, and from beyond just 26 or 27 feet, but down to 30, and from the logo. I mean, from the logo is a Steph Curry phrase. Like, he's nearly at midcourt, effortlessly shooting three-pointers. To say that he's finally getting recognized, I thought was comical. So we had Jared Greenberg on, and that stemmed a conversation about whether the Warriors are good or bad for basketball and whether other teams should be held their feet to the fire for not being the Warriors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is kind of taken over the show. I do want to get Mraz's take on this because I fought with Jared Greenberg. I've now battled with Andrew Bogish. They're on the same side. I have battled with listeners and tweeters as well, but I have not gotten Mraz's take on this. Where you stand on what the Warriors are in terms of good or bad for basketball?
Right off the bat, they're bad for basketball. They've completely ruined basketball. As a matter of fact, this year was the first year it felt like me because LeBron left the East, and only because of that, that the NBA was actually interesting again for the first time in 4 years. But that was really just to get through the East and get to what we're seeing now, which ultimately leads to a team having no shot to beat the Warriors in the finals.
So you don't go back to last year's Rockets-Warriors Western Conference Finals and say, see, they can be beaten. It makes things interesting.
No, because how do we know they can be beaten? Chris, how do we even know with Chris Paul in that game that they wouldn't have? My track record, or the track record that I have, tells me even down 3-2, even if Chris Paul was playing, that the Warriors would have found a way to win that series, because that's all we've seen them do. And my track record now with Chris Paul and James Harden a year later when they had them, having a chance with Kevin Durant now not to do that, only further backs the point that I still think the Warriors would have won that series regardless. So where's the they can be beaten? We haven't seen it.
So do you think that the Bucks or the Raptors stand a chance?
I'm with you, and I was I was pumping this earlier. I thought the Bucks were deep enough, especially when Brogdon coming back, that they would be able to at least give the Warriors a fight, an outside chance they could win. I don't think there's a shot in heck, after I've seen them apparently mentally wilt for the last three games, that they'll be able to do this. And look, the Raptors, we've seen the one-man band versus the Warriors in the finals with LeBron. That's what the Raptors are right now with Kawhi Leonard. We've been there, done that. The Raptors have no shot to beat the Warriors.
Yeah. And I hate saying that, because I really want to see the Bucks or the Raptors win a world championship. I like both of these teams. I think they're eminently likable. The only unlikable part of this entire series is Drake. But after what we've seen from the Bucks over the last three games, the question is what happened to Milwaukee, because they really all season have been the best chance to take down the Warriors. Now, both the Bucks and the Raptors will have home court advantage in the NBA Finals, which means they'll have the first two games to set the tone of the series. But for the Bucks, I just think they're deeper, more balanced, and that Giannis, because of his ability around the rim as well, and his size differential, where the one thing the Warriors still don't have is a great post presence in terms of size, that Giannis would be a type of guy that could really give them problems. But what happened to the Bucks over the last three games, I think, has been that they have not handled adversity well at all. And maybe it's because they didn't go through much in the regular season. Maybe it's because they didn't go through much in the first two rounds of the Eastern Conference playoffs. But outside of losing game one at home to the Boston Celtics, we just haven't seen the Bucks respond well when things have been tough for them. And what happened in game number three, yeah, maybe that was going to be gravy, icing on the cake. They were already up 2-0. You go up 3-0, you're basically done through the next round. But the Bucks had a chance in regulation to win, had a chance in the first overtime to win, had a chance at the second overtime to win, and the Raptors just made one more basket. And in game number four, again, here's an opportunity for the Bucks to seize total control of the series, go back home up 3-1 with the chance to close and put the backs up against the wall of the Raptors and force the Raptors to win three straight games, laid a dud. And Giannis, again, was not effective. And the Raptors controlled that game throughout, and the Bucks kind of went through the motions. And then last night, the Bucks had that double-digit lead in the first half, and then the Raptors closed with the flurry. And then in the third quarter, built that big lead up again, and the Raptors answered, and down the stretch, had all the right possessions, and the Bucks had all the wrong possessions. And I just think that Milwaukee proved that it wasn't as mentally tough and as sturdy and as organized as the Raptors, which is weird to say, because the Raptors have always been the ones that have been puddles in big spots. But in this case, it's not the case. And I give the Raptors a lot of credit. And maybe just simply Kawhi Leonard gives them a different belief in themselves that DeMar DeRozan could never do. Maybe the veteran presence of a guy like Danny Green, certainly Fred VanVleet's contributions in this series have been big. Certainly last night that was true. Maybe Nick Nurse is different from Dwayne Casey in some ways. But the fact is, the Raptors went into playoff series in previous years being the softies. And since game number two's ending, the Bucks have been the softies. And I think primarily because the Raptors have taken the fight to the Bucks, and I think it's centrally located around Kawhi Leonard. That just Kawhi makes you believe, and that Kawhi is such an assassin, and Kawhi on one leg basically is saving up until the fourth quarter and then just going into assassin mode. I think that changes everything for the Toronto Raptors, and the Bucks have just wilted. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Now, our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. Geico.com. Ben is next up. He's in Hoboken, New Jersey, listening online, CBSSportsRadio.com. Good morning, Ben.
What up, DA?
How you doing?
Good. I completely disagree with you. I feel like whoever wins the series, and I'm still going to stick with the Bucks. I think they're going to find a way to win Game 6 and win 7. But nonetheless, even the Raptors, I feel like either one of these teams can beat Golden State, because the one thing these teams can do is defend. They're elite defensive teams. They're going to have home court. They can shoot the three ball, and they have the depth and talent to go against Golden State. That's how you're going to beat them in a series. I think a lot of people are forgetting these top three teams are better than any of the teams that Golden State faced in the West, including Houston, which I think was vastly overrated this year.
I think that's true. These would be the two best teams, much better than Houston. I would agree with that in the Western Conference playoff that they played. I would agree. But I think the one thing that worries me is two things that you mentioned there. They can shoot the three and they play elite defense. The Bucks haven't done that. The Bucks have not, since their early two games, shot the three well. And defensively, they did not lock down last night when they had to on the Raptors to get that win. In game number four, they were nowhere to be seen defensively. And, you know, you can't take those games off against the Golden State Warriors. You have to be that consistent every single game. And now this series is going to go seven games, probably, maybe the Raptors even in six. But do I trust now that one of these teams comes out of an emotional, grueling series to survive and get to their first NBA Finals while the Warriors are rested for 9 days? Man, Ben, I'll tell you this. I hope you're right. Unfortunately, I think you're wrong. Daniel's next up. He's listening in Wichita, Kansas on Sirius XM, Channel 206. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, DA. Can I get a beam up?
Yes, sir. What's cooking?
I want to say that I'm a Cavs fan, so I have some perspective on this Warriors dynasty. 2017, the Cavs offensively were actually better than the year that they beat the Warriors. And that team only beat the Warriors once in the finals, and that took their best offensive output of the season. So last year, 2018, you know how many minutes of that NBA Finals I watched? None. Because I knew it was going to be a sweep. I knew it. And this year, it's going to be the same thing. Whoever wins this Eastern Conference Series, they're not winning a single game, so I'm not watching the Finals at all.
And that's perhaps without Kevin Durant, and unfortunately, I think you're right. And I don't want to be right on this, but unfortunately, I think you're right. I think that even without Kevin Durant, the Warriors are going to win in four or five. And that, to me, defines why the addition of Kevin Durant has been so problematic, is that the Warriors are already so good. They're that much better than everybody else. And then the embarrassment of riches is they have Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins not playing. So thus, I can't get on board with the argument that the Warriors' greatness has been good for basketball, or that we should wag our fingers and shame the other teams of the NBA. Look, it's really, really hard to win an NBA championship. A lot of great players never had, like Charles Barkley, like Patrick Ewing. Go down the list, Dominique Wilkins, Allen Iverson. These are great all-time players that never won an NBA. It's hard anyway. Now go try to do it with a team that's leaps and bounds better than everybody else, but also has the luxury of DeMarcus Cousins and Kevin Durant on their bench. That's no longer competitive basketball. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll jump back into your phone calls about this, but also coming up here next. Imagine being reprimanded, lectured by your local weatherman for wanting to watch your sports in Game 7 of the NBA playoffs. We've got the audio coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside.
Good morning, buddy. I love your show, man. I'm happy for you. I couldn't be more happy for you, man. Couldn't be more happier. I just like you in general, man. And I follow you on Twitter. I just couldn't be more happier for you, man. There's a lot of people out there that just can't accept that. People like you, they give it to them. That just couldn't be more happier for you.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah! People can't accept facts, and I just keep serving them up. Fact pies. Hot out of the oven. Thanks for being with us on a fine Friday. It's a Target Demo Friday, so let us know where you're at, how you're listening, and what you're doing. We'll read through those coming up here on the show in about 20 minutes from now. Also, PGP is out this week. Now, what you'll hear on the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show within the show, is my conspiracy theory surrounding why Jacob Wilkins and Binghamton Rumble Ponies AA Baseball somehow preempted us, considering we're on pretty early in the morning for baseball to be being played live. So my conspiracy theory on the PGP you'll hear, which is that Jacob Wilkins, seeking to advance his own career and earn more popularity amongst our listeners, pirate radioed a Rumble Ponies weekly magazine show during our show. That apparently was, that conspiracy theory balloon was popped because Jacob told us that it was school day at Binghamton Rumble Ponies Baseball, which meant there was a 10:35 a.m. first pitch, which I then asked Jacob on the air this week, well, the players must love getting up and playing a 10:30 in the morning game. And he said, no comment. That's all part of this week's Permission Granted Podcast. Also, Bogish and Merez go inside our celebration of Merez's birthday last week while he was away. Now, you and I, we all love our Game 7s in the NBA playoffs. Unfortunately, didn't get one of those in this round yet. Maybe we'll get one of the Eastern Conference Finals. But last round, we had a couple of them, including the Western Conference semifinals. And in Virginia, on the ABC affiliate, WSET, the set, chief meteorologist George Flickinger cut away from Game 7 action of the Western Conference semifinals. This was Nuggets-Blazers, because there were tornadoes, and there was a tornado warning, I believe. So, this tornado warning ran for about 30 minutes in a split screen with Game 7. Let's just say listeners, or viewers rather in this case, were not amused. And sports fans in Virginia gave George Flickinger a talking to on the old voicemail. So this weatherman took to the TV and basically told his viewers, hey, shut up. We're trying to make sure you don't die.
This weekend during Game 7 of the NBA semifinals, we had a tornado warning in our area. Now, it's our commitment to you that when we do have a tornado warning, that we go on the air and stay on until it is over and you are safe. This weekend, per our severe weather policy, we broke into programming with the tornado warning and allowed you to continue watching Game 7 on a split screen. But apparently, that upset some of you.
And I'd just like to say, I thank you for absolutely ruining Game 7 of Denver versus Portland, because you have to show a tornado warning for over a half an hour.
We get it. This tornado, it's been on the TV for over 20 minutes, and I'm trying to watch the last 3 minutes. Not on the BS split screen. This is BS. You guys are terrible at your job.
Tonight, we are not going to apologize for what we did. If you're watching us from Bedford, for example, you're just as important to us as someone watching us from Danville or Lynchburg. Whenever there is a tornado warning, lives are at risk. This is Franklin County in April after an EF3 tornado tore through. And this is in Elon and Campbell County after last year's EF3 rated tornado. Thankfully, no lives were lost. And that's why when we go on TV and stay on over-programming and commercials, you never know when someone new is tuning in looking for critical information to protect themselves and their families. We take this responsibility very seriously. And if we had a chance to do it all over again, we would.
Ouch. WSET in Virginia. Now, what I love about that wagging of the finger is playing the voicemails on this newscast. Like, hey, listen to these yahoos. I mean, you could just say we received some negative feedback. Do you have to actually play the voicemails? Number two, apparently Danville lives matter too. Hey, it's not just Danville. Okay? They matter as much as Lynchburg does, guys. All you Lynchburg elitists that think that Danville doesn't matter, we got to worry about those tornadoes over there, guys. And number three, showing the carnage of a tornado. This is what death looks like, everybody. We just want to remind you, this is what can happen. So you want to watch your precious little game seven of your little okey-doke basketball game. This is life and death. We got carnage. We've got death's doorstep. The archangel of darkness is here looking to take your soul. And we're running a weather map for you. You should be thankful. Now that was a Principal Skinner-esque wagging of the finger at people that were upset. But how about this addition, Mraz? This is pretty amazing. Flickinger, this meteorologist, was fired from a previous TV station for doing exactly this.
Whoa!
Wait a minute.
Now, wait a minute.
In 06, he was at Tulsa's KOKI and ran wildfire warnings during an NFL game and got canned for it.
You don't mess around with Tulsa and their football.
No, exactly right. Now, he's like, hey, there are wildfires. People might die. It's hot down here. It was a November 27, 06 game between the Giants and the Seahawks. I don't know if you remember this.
The comeback.
I don't know. This, it wouldn't surprise me if you know this play-by-play, this game, but 06 Seahawks-Giants. So this is,
no, that's Jay Feely missed a bunch of kicks. Giants lost late.
But is that a regular season game?
Yeah, November, yep.
Okay, that was the Jay Feely game.
That was the Jay Feely missed a ton of kicks game. Yep, absolutely. The comeback was 08.
You're exactly right. That's exactly what it was. That is why you are a football savant, Perez. So the Jay Feely game, he interrupted in Tulsa, by the way, not a local broadcast. It's not like it's a Cowboys game at Oklahoma or something like that, to warn about wildfires, and apparently got canned for it. So I don't know. He's got something about warning people during sports games. Hey, weather matters here, but it got him all jammed up in his last spot, and now he's coming out full guns ablaze in his next spot. You would think that Flickinger, you know, would learn his lesson a little bit, but I don't know. He must feel empowered.
He does. The ultimate irony of this whole weather report, DA, is that Flickinger is with you and those angry listeners are with Bogish. Those listeners believe that Portland and Denver matters and they don't want tornadoes interrupting. Flickinger's saying, I'm going to interrupt. The Warriors are winning the finals.
That's a
good anyway.
Point. That's exactly right.
It literally runs parallel with this show.
It's true. The viewers that were really upset in Virginia, in Lynchburg, are totally pro-Bogish here.
Well, your boy Mark Zeno, our boy Mark Zeno from Atlanta, was in a fight like this. I forget which weather issue it was, but he was mad that they broke in and they stayed on the air in his mind too long.
Yeah.
That they should have broken in and gone, tornado, and got taken you back to your game.
You know, I feel like tickers are fine. Just run the ticker underneath
like
the game.
Safety's probably Trump sports every once in a while.
When we come back, we've got your Target Demo Friday. Also, Drake with the most annoying Drake post-game interview ever. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
New time slot. Same great taste.
DA, what's going on, man? Loving the new time slot. Super pumped that you're bringing back Target Demo Friday. I think that's pretty awesome.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, no longer really new time slot anymore. Now into, I guess, year number three, two full years of this time slot. But we had done away with Target Demo Friday when we moved to evenings for 2 years. But now we brought it back because people are at work getting ready for their Friday again and ready to roll, ready to rock. And it's been great to hear from you guys as we head into weekends each and every week here on the DA Show each and every Friday. It's time for our question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. John in Chicago asks, DA, what do you think about the James Harden and Chris Paul interaction that's been reported? Do you think that these two actually hate one another? Well, the report from The Athletic and Shams there was that after the Game 6 and even during the Game 6 loss to the Warriors, Harden and Chris Paul were at each other's throats, fighting in the locker room, arguing about how the offense should run, and they did not speak after the game, and that nobody has spoken on it because nobody knew about this until after exit interviews. Now, those two guys are not available. I think that Chris Paul has never been the leader that people assume that he was. I think that Chris Paul has always had a heavy dose of Chris Paul, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if Chris Paul also became desperate. I mean, last year he was gone for Game 6 and Game 7 of his first ever conference finals. This year, knocking on the door again, he was healthy, but he was limited because of his age, and I think that he also sees that he's slowing down. He's no longer as effective as he once was and probably started lashing out. And I think the issue is you have to live and die by James Harden with the Rockets this year, because Chris Paul just wasn't consistent enough to run anything through Chris Paul. So do I think that there's natural resentment? Yeah, because I don't think Paul is the ultimate team guy. He probably should be. And I think that James Harden is not the ultimate team leader. And as I mentioned in the past, I don't think it's a Mike D'Antoni problem in Houston. I think that that combination of those two guys is just not strong enough of a backbone to be able to do the insurmountable, which is topple the Golden State Warriors. I want to play some audio for you here on the show. After last night's game number 5, huge win by the Toronto Raptors, Drake spoke to a number of local media who were out there covering the fans at Jurassic Park as Drake was doing his little in-game concert. And boy, there is nothing worse than a celebratory Drake.
Listen, we have the best player, we have the best fans in the whole NBA, in the whole world. Look around you. Look at this. We created this. This didn't exist before we were here. Look around at the square. I promise you right now, we did this. Doesn't matter what anybody says. They can say it's disrespectful. They can say it's this and that. Everybody's within the rules. Everybody's doing their thing. All we are is proud and passionate. We are like a college sports team. The Toronto Raptors are a college sports team, I promise you. I love Toronto. I love this team. And we're going to the NBA.
What did you say to Bucks fans?
Okay, shut up. So, for Drake, what? Okay, the town is like a college sports town for the Raptors. That's cool. They seem to be totally into it. I love it. Who is he saying people say it's disrespectful to stand outside an arena and cheer? Nobody's saying that. People are saying that you're disrespectful, Drake, because you're acting the fool on the sideline like you're a member of the team, clowning players like Giannis and giving back shoulder rubs to the coach. Nobody's saying that about Toronto Raptors fans. Nobody said Raptors fans were disrespectful. They're saying you are. Also, we created this. What do you mean? This didn't exist before us. You mean fans outside an arena? Well, that's happened before. But yes, your Jurassic Park, where great Raptors fans congregate to celebrate their team. Yeah, I don't know what you mean it didn't happen before. Like, that's like saying, yeah, the DA show didn't happen before I took it over. That Raptors fans didn't congregate outside of the arena until Raptors fans congregated outside of the arena? Is that what you're saying, Drake? Like, Drake makes no sense. And I'm all in on Kawhi. I am such a a huge Kawhi fan after this postseason and how he's handling himself. This Raptors team is cool. Toronto's a cool city. The fans are cool. It's just Drake's the worst. He just is. Hate the Drake.
Hate the Drake.
Hate the Drake.
Hate the Drake.
It's time for Target Demo Friday.
It's a three-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
Brandon on Facebook, listening through my Amazon Echo, radio.com in Tacoma, Washington, getting ready this weekend for my kid's 8th birthday party. She's having a taco bar, and it's a Kane Brown party as well. Hashtag, can I get a Bebo? Jonathan's on SiriusXM in the app, mowing the yard, getting ready to enjoy this Memorial Day weekend. Beam me up. Phil is in Paducah, Kentucky, radio.com app. And this weekend is all about getting my house ready for my back surgery next week. Hashtag so many emotions.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
John on Facebook, listening at work on the CBS Sports app while working on a, quote, project. Hashtag so many emotions on so many levels.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
Back to back. Erica Herskowitz emotions drop is awesome and historic. John also adds, thank you to all of our veterans. Greg on Facebook, listening online, CBS Sports app in Newark, Ohio, getting a workout in on a rare 85-degree sunny day. No rain, not a little wet, nor drippy.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Jim on Facebook, saw the picture of Mirage shirtless that we added. My eyes, good God, why would you have to post a picture like this? I may have nightmares. I'm at work on a Friday in Ohio, listening on WBBW 1240, hopefully getting out a little bit early.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Chris on Facebook is in Florence, South Carolina, 100.1 The Fan, working all weekend, but feeling good and doing well.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Evans on radio.com in the Florida swamp. Steph Curry underrated. Now, wait a minute. We all know what his resume is, so stop. Enjoy your third straight championship. Now go back to listening to Nickelback and refusing plastic straws. Now, I have to support the plastic straw ban. I know it's harder. I know those other straws disintegrate and they're awful, but save the whales. Save the whales. John's in Erie, PA, 96.3 The Score. Little wet, little drippy.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
You go, Mraz. I got to go to work this weekend. Loreto is on Facebook. Imperial Valley, California, harvesting sugar beets. On the CBS Sports app, hashtag they're everywhere, D.A.
What you think about that, D.A.?
Edwards in Cleveland driving a gas tanker, getting that long money. It's about the money, D.A.
It's about the money, M-O-N-E-Y, D.A.
Billy tweets, where's my cake, D.A.? In Richmond, watching on watchda.com, eating some cake and reading up on some college hoops.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
On to Twitter on a Facebook. Or I should say on from Facebook on a Target Demo Friday. Daryl's listing on radio.com in Lawrence, Kansas, getting ready to service his truck. Wondering what the leader of Chubbo Nation is going to crush this Memorial Day weekend. Maybe some keyboard chicken? Hashtag Pudgy the Whale. Hashtag Long Island Manatee.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
What are you going to crush this weekend?
Well, tonight I'm going to crush big bowl of meatballs and pasta at this Italian restaurant for my anniversary. Then tomorrow, just I'm going to probably have a combination of 7 to 9 hot dogs, quite a few burgers, some grilled shrimp as well, some chicken burgers, a lot of chips and dip, a lot of macaroni salad. You know, America's best.
Chubbo. Jimmy tweets, D.A., a shirtless Mraz at the beach makes me think that maybe seeing the Robert Kraft video wouldn't be so bad at all. Scott tweets, I'm in Bermuda for a long weekend celebrating the 30th anniversary with lots of sand, surf, and drinks on 1240 Reading, PA. Hashtag how many beers ago?
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Alex is on SiriusXM Channel 206 in the middle of nowhere for work, then chilling at home for the long 3-day Memorial Day weekend, grilling up some beef back ribs, burgers, Mraz style, and chugging a real cold one, just plain and simple. Hashtag you need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Jonathan's listing on The Fan in Florence, South Carolina. He's driving this Lay's truck around, getting ready for Memorial Day weekend, sweating in this feels like 100 degree already heat. It's only 11 a.m. Hashtag no way. Jimmy tweets, I'm on 1360 WYLS in Binghamton, New York, heading to a game in the Subway Series with the Yankees and Mets this week and listening to John and Susan for the other games. Oh, wait, that's the AA series of the Mets and Yankees affiliate with Jacob Wilkins on the mic.
And now he is twerking his face.
Derek tweets, I'm in Pittsburgh listening on Apple Music, delivering work, working my tail off, delivering food. Wanted to say thanks for giving us an update on Little Mo yesterday. You made me cry my eyes out. We love Little Mo. Gonna go old school on you, DA. Hashtag, you better take your raincoat.
You better take your raincoat.
Yeah, I just woke her up. Those are great. You better take your raincoat.
Crap, you can use another word than that. Literally urine on my head.
I've shed a lot of tears over Little Mo over the last couple of days. He is my hero. I love him to death. I love him so much, and I wish for his best every single day. Alien OG is at home in Kansas City today, listening on the CBS Sports app with my dog, Karma. She's a big fan, DA. Can she get a beam up? You know it. Have a Boulevard Wheat for me, buddy. Paul, listening on radio.com. Ducking tornadoes, dodging floods, and smoking ribs, brisket, and pork butts. A little wet, a little drippy in Kansas City.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Sounds amazing. I wish I was there with you. Adam, it's the stepbrother from out of town, Thicky Kardashian, listing online in Atlanta.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
AZ and Wisco is on Sirius 206 today. 2 weeks until the triathlon. Big day Saturday. 3-hour bike and 1-hour run. Sunday, golf with my son, followed by grill duties. Hashtag Target Demo Friday.
All right.
And Eric wraps up by saying, listening on radio.com at work in DFW, counting down the hours until Memorial Day weekend. DA, can we take a moment to give remembrance and thanks to the brave men and women who have given their lives to our country so that we can enjoy our freedoms? That's a good way, Eric, to wrap up Target Demo Friday. And he's absolutely right. An enormous thanks to those and those families that have sacrificed ultimately for all of us here in this wonderful country of ours, who has its share of problems, but is still an amazing place to be from and to live in. And I thank our listeners and this wonderful country of ours for giving me the opportunities that I have every single day. So let's get to your epic fail of the day, boys and girls. And the epic fail is actually the best of this week. For some reason, this week was the weirdest week we've had in recent memory, and that's saying something. Mraz has cobbled together all of the bizarre moments of the week that was here on the DA Show.
Even the DA Show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Is a banishment or not? This guy's banned, and you're having him trash. I don't want to hear anything but the mic left on. So how hard is it to keep the fat Frankie Valli off the air? I don't understand. Why does he have to trash?
College poops on the same dime.
I mean, I only want one loaf of multigrain bread. The other loaf of bread is going to go stale.
It's free. Just take it.
Oh, for free? I guess I'll have three. I mean, I don't need three loaves of bread sitting there on my counter.
I am historically ahead of the curve.
Michael Medvin does not go doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and Derek Jeter comes up.
These kids are learning, actually, it's STEM Day here in Bowie, so there's high schoolers that are showcasing their science experiments, and so I guess it's sort of a, here's what you might be doing, or here's something you may be interested in later, some real hands-on learning.
J-E-T-E-R.
I am historically ahead of the curve.
It's not as if it was white noise, where it was like, you know, sending those dots across from ship to ship to let them know they're in an SOS.
What? A dump is a dump.
Call the cows now, Gloria.
Does that mean you want to go to the grocery store and pick up a Gloria? Or does that mean you want
an item?
You want a girl like Gloria? You want a Gloria? Or is that an adjective or a verb, rather? Is that something that you do? You want a Gloria?
I think I want a Gloria.
The wedgies that the slides give you.
You know you want a Gloria.
Until the cows come home, Gloria.
Call the cows now. Gloria.
Call the cows now.
Yeah, they have T-Mobile. Thunder. Gloria. Call the cows now. Gloria.
I am historically ahead of the curve.
Da da da. Da 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 da. Feeling close. Da 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 da. Da da da. Da 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 da. Da da da.
You're good at it.
Yeah.
You're really good.
NBA, NHL, college poops on the same dime.
College poops on?
I'm sorry, that's like
college hoops.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
That was like when a TV show goes off the air and it's the outtakes, or like when you have credits during a movie and it's the outtakes, except all of that was on the air over 1 week of shows. This show has become daily outtakes, which is amazing because I'm glad that we did that. Our first week on the air, January 2013, here on CBS Sports Radio, did the overnights. After the first week, the first Friday, I had you do a clip montage of the best of the week. Kind of like that, but that's not right. Nearly as quirky and weird and bizarre and funny. The boss said, I got some feedback for you after week number one. Yeah, he said, I liked everything, except don't do the clip stuff at the end of the Friday. Nobody wants to hear stuff that's already happened before. Keep it fresh. They said, all right, I don't know. I mean, if it's really good stuff and you want to re-rack it from the week, I think like the best of the week is kind of cool. 6.5 years later, we finally got our clip montage from the week.
It was worth it.
It was worth it. Totally worth it. So, yeah, what a weird week that it was. And I should alert you, Summer DA Show becomes weirder by the day until we get to Labor Day. So we are entering the weirdest season of the DA Show. We hope that you enjoy it as much as we do, because the next 3 months will be a little sideways at times. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Sam Rubinoff for the Wheels of Steel doing a great job today. Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com. Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good to one another. Have a safe holiday weekend. The mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.